Okay, now we are going to comment on the latest articles about PHP and related matters that happened on the actually or published on August in PHP Classes blog. So we are going to start precisely. Let me share the screen here if I can make it. Okay, can you see it?
Yep.
Okay. So just checking now. Other if all is going well with okay. I don't know if it is broadcasting because live coding is seems to be frozen for me. Okay. Oh, I forgot to put on play. That's why. So soon I'm going to start the injection. Inception. So anyway, talking about the articles of this month, we have, as usual, several articles that are not exactly about programming, but they are about topics related with people that want to start their own software product business. So there are some articles about software product business and others about more technical PHP related things. So the first article that I'm going to comment is about a new video that was published about three methods to discover ideas to create new software product businesses with good potential. So this video was created after actually making a survey in the PHP group of Facebook that showed that most people that want to create software product businesses, they want to do it, but they don't have any ideas. So coincidentally, there was an interview, a free consulting session that I gave to a developer, Leandro Castro da Silva, that he wanted to know precisely how to find, discover good business ideas, because we are developers, but sometimes we don't know what could be great ideas. Sometimes we have an idea, but the idea is not so great in terms of business. So I give three methods.
I think the most common problem from developers is that there are stuff that it's interesting to code, but you can't make them into business. And there is stuff that is not interesting to work on, but it could make great business. So
Yes, those are the developers that, since they don't know about anything about business, they don't want to get involved. But that survey was more for people that actually they want to start a business but don't have any ideas. So in this video, which is a session recording over Skype, that I present just three methods to ask to determine what could be great business ideas. One is to observe, like if you are working for a company, you need to observe what are the needs of the company, what are their pains. And from that, you can have ideas to solve those pains. The second method is to ask, like, for instance, if you're for a client, your boss, you can ask him, well, what are the greatest pains that you have in your business? And they say, oh, I have this difficulty now. So it would be great to have a software solution for this. And the third method is to automate. I know many things that currently are done by manually by humans in the future will be automated by software or robots or something, or a combination of software and robots. After all, robots also run software. So these are the three methods. So you can watch this video and actually learn more how they would work. Now, moving on to another article, which is more about solutions to, for instance, log events and show them in a cool way. This is an article written by José Luis Lasso for in the PHP classes blog, and it is related with a package that developed. It's called PHP Status Graphs, and basically, it has a way to retrieve data from a local database and generate graphs in SVG format. So these are some examples of the graphs that it generates. So it would be interesting for you to also take a look if this is something that you are doing in your job or work that you need to do. The next article is also related with the software product businesses, and it it is about actually a consulting session that asked that I gave to a developer that asked how can he make his software product very interesting for his potential customers. So this is more about marketing. How can I find customers and how can I sell them my solution? And how can I make my solution better so they can make it very interesting? It talks about a method that is called design thinking, which is a method that allows you to create software software products that are interesting for your customers, so you can attract many customers and they become very happy. I don't know, Arthur, if you ever had this question of how can I make my software products better. I think you tried to create your own business before, right?
Yeah, it's had lots of different experiences and failures at different stages, but I never had probably more like customer oriented specifically. It's more like
it was more overall APIs now.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, it's more business to business.
Yes, something like that.
Still, your business customers, they have needs, and you can also apply this method to how to determine what are the exact needs and make them very happy. It is a process that requires some research. You need to study it, but in this video I give them give you some guidelines, and later there will be actually a course on software product business creation on which you can learn more in detail how it works and apply it in practice with support, so we can clarify any other doubts that you may have. So the next article is more on the technical side of PHP. In this case, it's an article by Dave Smith, because he created a package called PHP Exchange Rate API, and he actually developed this package to call an API that gets exchange rates and makes calculations to convert rates between different currencies. And one interesting thing is that he has actually the API that he is using can even retrieve values from the past up to the year 2000. So if you want, for some reason, you need to know what was the exchange rate in the past date, this API can address that problem. And this package and this article were written by Dave Smith, and he explains here how you can make it work. And it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but it's always nice to have these simple tutorials that explain users how they can benefit from this package. The next article is again about a software product business, and this one is called How to Pick Partners for a Software Product. But I don't know. I suppose you had the partners when you had your business, Arthurs.
Yeah. Not technical ones, mostly that complement the skills and stuff like that.
Exactly. So you are pretty much on target. If you are the tech guy, you should pick partners that are like the marketing guy or the sales guy. And yes, and this article is actually another consulting session that was given to another developer that wanted to know how it can pick partners and how to offer them like shares or profits, what would be the best solution for creating a good partnership that will work forever, because forever is probably a long time, but works for a long time. Yeah, but because according to a local startup association over here, it seems that 60% of the businesses of startups fail due to disagreements between partners. So if you do not pick your partners well, you probably will have like disagreements. So one of the things that you already mentioned, you did write this, if you are the tech guy, avoid to have partners that are also tech guys, or else they will probably be arguing with them for some time. And if you do not get along, often the startups stop and your business kind of fails. So this was a free consulting session that was given to another developer that wanted to remain on development side, but he wants also to have somebody to care more about the business side. So I also give him some advice. So the next article is actually one that was written with the help of the company called Hired. This is a company that is well known for dealing with the hiring of employees for big companies, and that they are also handling the hiring of PHP developers and developers of other languages for many companies. So in this article, they mention 10 high-growth companies that are hiring PHP developers. So it is basically a list mostly of startups that are hiring PHP developers. So if you have a great interest to be hired by one of these companies, they are all around the world, like United States, Australia, France, United Kingdom, Canada. So if you are interested to be hired by these companies, they have a process that you can just sign up for free, because the hiring is paid by the company that is being employed. So if you are looking for a great job in those companies, you may apply there. And this article, I think if you click here, you go to the actual page that you will sign up to get job offers. So the next article is again yet another about software product business creation, and this addresses what you initially mentioned, Arthur, about developers not wanting to stop being developers when they join companies. So they can be the tech guy, like you said. In this article, I basically, actually, it is an article that points to a video on which I tell basically that if you want to be create your own software product business company, you don't need to actually deal with the business. So your alternative is to did like you did. I don't know if you did you search for those partners, or did you the partners look for you?
Happened both ways. Usually on events or exchanging ideas with friends who know some friends and stuff like that.
Yeah. So this is the, I think the right way to go. Either the partners may have ideas and know that you are a good developer and invite you in, so you become a partner. Or you may also find them in events or other networking opportunities that, as you mentioned, those events. So this is just a short video to let you know what to do, how to create your own software product business without stopping being a developer, which is, like you said, something that many developers want. They want to stop working for others, have their own business, but they do not want to be the marketing guy or the sales guy, because it is not as much fun, right?
Completely not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a perspective that is the following. Usually what you think it is not so fun, it's something that once you learn about it, it probably is not so boring. But still, being a developer is always better than being the sales guy. And anyway,
for you, for me, yes.
No, I'm saying that for being a developer, it's better. It's not what you think.
Yeah, well, not everyone meant to be a developer. Some guys are meant to be marketers and stuff like that.
Ah, right. What I mean, for a developer, it's always great to remain a developer.
Of course.
Okay. Next article is about an interesting service that monitors errors in your applications, which is called Rollbar. This one was written by Samuel Adesina. And it is a tutorial how to use this Rollbar service. Basically, it has an API, and you can use some components that call that API whenever there are problems in your application. So those problems get reported via that API to the server, and then you can see reports and other things that are relevant to help you to fix your bugs. Let's say that your application has many errors, and you don't know which error is more important to fix next. You can look at the reports and say, oh, this bug is happening for a long time, or is happening many, many more times than the others. So you can look at those reports and help you to decide. And this is interesting. It works not only with PHP, but it also works with other languages. Basically, this article teaches how to use it from PHP, which is very simple. Just basically one call that you can insert in your PHP code, and that's it. Artus, do you have a similar process to track your bugs or errors in production? Do you use your own custom code?
Actually, when I was working as a PHP developer, I was using my own custom implementation that would gather errors from all the websites that I managed into one place so I can review them and fix them. But now there are many custom the third-party services. I don't know for PHP specifically, but for mobile applications, for Node.js, for server monitoring, there are lots of stuff available.
Yeah. Well, I think a monitoring service has its advantages, but I also noticed that some people that commented, I don't know if it is in this article there, let me see if there are security issues. There was a guy that claimed, if this is problematic because you send your application information to an external service and he's concerned about security issues. Well, unless you own your own web server machine, you probably have also those similar concerns with your hosting company. Maybe your hosting company employees can take a look at your application data, and then you would have the same concerns. So it's not different. Now, if you are like developing an application for the finances, banking, or maybe some other sensitive data, maybe it's better that you have your own data center and host your own servers, but then it will become very expensive. So, well, you need to always balance those things, but some solutions are probably very expensive, so probably discard them. Anyway, the next article that I'm going to talk about is also about software product creation business. It talks about a method that I already mentioned before. It's called design thinking. It has five phases, and it helps you to design products, software products, or any other kind of products before you even get started to code them. So this is more to help you to conceive products that are as much as possible perfect, or tend to be perfect for your customers, because first you will have to listen exactly what are their problems, and then only then you create the products to address their needs. So if you tend to create your software products that will be perfect for your customers, well, we know there's no such thing as perfect products, but let's imagine products that are very good and the customers are very happy with them. So you, not only they will be very happy, they can pay you even more money, and you can also conquer many more customers than if your products are not very well designed. So this is a method that I share in a short video to let you know how to do it. Anyway, the last article that we're going to comment is about, actually, this is a second part of an article of a package for installing database schema from a definition in a JSON format of the database schema. Basically, it defines some JSON structure for your database, and then you define what the author, which is Samuel Adesina from Nigeria, he defines some crude actions to so you can determine how to create your database schema. So this is a JSON format, so it is independent of the database that you are using. It can determine several actions that you can perform in your application, and with this package, it can automate the installation of your database schema. Arthur, how do you install your database schemas? Is it like doing SQL directly, or do you have a tool that automates the generation of SQL for creating and operating schema?
Oh, yeah, it's even easier than that for me. We are working with MongoDB mostly, which does not have scheme at all. You just insert stuff and it automatically creates a collection for you. And each document can have completely different set of properties, so there is no such scheme as per se.
Yeah, initially it is the actual application that defines the structure of the document, right?
Yeah, so you basically need to think about future, how we want to retrieve the data and then store it in most efficient format for you to retrieve it back later.
Yeah, well, and so you do not use SQL databases anymore, or it's just your current projects do not need them?
Basically, yeah, I think I have not worked with SQL databases for like 2 or 3 years now, so starting to forget what it was like.
It is
because it's completely
that is a blast. That is a blast.
Completely other thinking, and it was hard for me to transfer from SQL database to NoSQL thinking, to drop the normal forms and stuff like that, and now it would be probably hard to come back.
And what the, I don't remember exactly, but I have seen several articles of companies that went back from NoSQL databases to SQL databases. What is your take on that? Do you think they just didn't know how to deal with document databases, or there are applications that are really not suited?
Well, yeah, of course, there are applications that are not suited too, and the most common problem is the because NoSQL databases are usually transactionless, so you would need to perform some atomic operations that you want to do. You can't. It's not so easy to manipulate data and make it consistent. To make its integrity still maintained. But the speed is usually the most the most valuable thing that NoSQL databases provide. So if speed is important, then I think there is actually no way for you to use SQL databases.
Unless you access the databases directly using NoSQL interface, like maybe, that other package.
Maybe you need to test that more, yeah. And I think the also like sharding or replications is something which is now available in SQL databases from MariaDB. I don't know if MySQL supports it specifically, but it was in the NoSQL databases from the start, so that kind of thing is evolved and easier.
I don't know. I never have needed sharding. And sharding, for those that don't know what it is, sharding is like distributing the data over different servers, right?
Yeah. So basically, you have a large table, and there are records, and you distribute it by some key. So you split it like A to B goes to one server, C to D goes to the other server. So when you read it, it would already know by the key that it should read it on this specific server.
Yeah. I read that it would be useful, for instance, for companies that are distributed geographically. So the customers of one country are in one shard, and the customers of another country are another shard.
That would be more of replication. So there are replicas. They are still maintained in sync between each other.
Sharding is still local?
Sharding can be, yeah, probably most local, because only this specific information is found only in one shard, so everyone should be able to access that. Yeah. And replication sets are copies, so it would be more uptime. You could switch between replica sets and stuff like that.
Oh, I see. Well, those are really advanced topics for people with large databases. So with this, we practically ended this edition of the latest PHP article reports of September. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.